With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute of Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 509, Hustlers. It's nice to finally use my own expertise as a former stripper. I haven't really had an opportunity since Magic Mike 2.
I thought you meant as a patron.
No. Oh. I don't like strip clubs.
I don't either.
I thought you meant as a subscriber of the magazine.
They weird me out.
Yeah, I don't like that. There's a weird. I don't like them either.
I'm the same way about Hooters, which is a shame because
Their wings are delicious.
I like the wings.
They're like fried chicken wings.
Yeah. I don't like the kabuki theater of them like fawning all over you. Not to be confused with bukkake theater.
Oh, completely
which
different.
Which is totally different. I'm a big fan of that. But
I can't reach the Moroccan. I'm too lazy to walk around the table.
I just don't like the fake flirty. I'm like, I don't, and that's one of the things I don't like about strip clubs is just the whole, like this is, I can't buy into the,
right.
The charade.
My job, has taught me how to detect bull stuff.
Right.
And yeah. It's all over.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, at a strip joint. It's like, let's not play games.
We'll get we'll get into it obviously more during the episode. But I'm in the exact same boat. It's funny that we all fall in that. It's just such a. You will never find harder salesmen than strippers.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, you go to a used car lot.
You also never find a harder customer.
Well, true. But you go to a used car lot. And those salesmen are not as pushy as strippers.
No.
I mean, they work that room, and I get that it's their job. More power to them. I'm not saying anything bad about them, but it's not something I would like to go experience.
Right.
It's like, I mean, the few times that I've been, it's just like you don't get a minute alone without someone, hey, you want to dance? Hey, you want this?
Yeah.
Hey, and it's like, I want to just have a drink and like talk to my friends that are here for a second. Like, but they come by every minute and it's just very pushy. And then when you say no, obviously, because they're working, you know, they're up, see ya. You know, I mean, it's like, I hate the fake salesman type thing with pushy salespeople that are like fake friendly.
Right.
Until you give them an answer they don't want and then they're out of there.
Yeah.
It's like, that environment to me is hostile. And it's.
Well, I will say, though, at least they take no for an answer because then they just move on to the next one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's some schlub that'll be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
It's better when they do take no because sometimes they won't leave you alone.
And it's a slow night.
They try to work and it's like, no, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. I think the other thing I don't like about strip clubs is that I have an overactive imagination, which works against you in a strip club because all I can do is imagine like the things that happen to them
okay.
to cause them to be strippers.
Or maybe nothing.
But generally something.
But
possibly something.
I was going to say, I thought maybe you imagine them with clothes, so it's like the opposite. Like, you know, it's like, oh, you're imagining.
It's a complete waste of money.
Yeah,
the whole world's a strip club
goes,
for me.
He goes to a strip club. Yeah. Like, so like business casual would look really good if you had that, you know.
Like, what maybe a nice pair of skorts. Yeah. So before we get too much further than this, we should probably go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe, rate, and review. And of course, you can leave a review for us on Facebook over at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers, share an episode with a friend, help us spread the word. And of course, don't forget our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get bonus content and the joy of knowing that you helped us out. And some cool Patreon stuff coming up soon.
Hopefully.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that.
Yes.
But there's some cool stuff that they're working on because I'm too lazy to help. So
get in early. Get in early now. Yeah. And
before
ready.
It goes up to $5.20 a
month.
That's
right. Correct.
Yes. So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig into Hustlers.
Man.
Makes it sound like OBGYN.
I didn't not like this movie.
This movie was good movie.
I'm with you. I did not like it.
It felt
but I
too
also
much like
didn't.
Goodfellas to me.
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly it's derivative. There are certainly things you could point to. That
I think that's exactly how I felt. It wanted to be Goodfellas.
Yeah.
It wanted to be an epic Scarface, Goodfellas. Any of these movies that talk about how they grew an empire and rising up the ranks and got there, this felt like it wanted to be important. It wanted to be this great film. And to me, it was entertaining, but it felt too forced. Trying to build this.
I don't know if it
this.
Felt forced, but it felt like
I feel like just from the little bit we've said, I liked the movie more than you guys did.
Yeah.
But I think I had a similar reaction. And I think what you're trying to verbalize, but not quite putting your finger on, and maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure you'll tell me if I am.
I will tell you.
Not a problem.
I felt like the story needed to be grander.
Yes.
In what way?
These
bigger.
These are just a bunch of dumb
criminals.
I know
criminals. What grander means.
Okay.
But these are just
like, how would you have made it grander?
They're just hustlers. They're not building
yeah.
a crime
yeah.
empire like
but
Scarface.
Like, yeah,
it's
like
not...
when you watch Goodfellas, by the time you get to the end, you feel like you went on this epic journey.
Yes.
And this one is like a cool story.
Maybe they get their own strip joint. Like
they made a lot of money being strippers, and then they decided to run some credit cards, and then they got caught. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
It's not that interesting of a story. It's interesting, like, maybe to read an article or a news report, but, like, to go on a journey
and
with these
people.
And I think it
people. Is based, like, on a magazine.
It is. It is.
And I will say, they were Goodfellas and Casino kind of make you root for the bad guy. This is a little bit different because the marks are the bad guys.
Yeah.
Like, those are the guys that I feel like...
Well, I mean, they're still breaking the law. They're still
the bad guys.
But, like...
But the guys that they're breaking the law with are the ones you're just like, oh,
the reason
you.
Mob movies kind of work is that you can root for... It's kind of a contained universe for
yeah.
the most part. And most of their crimes are being perpetrated, or at least the ones that you see, are being perpetrated on other criminals.
And there's
so
a code of conduct.
So you can choose one side over the other to root for within
right.
this ecosystem.
But being a rich D-bag is not a crime. And so when you're drugging...
But they introduced the fact that most of these guys were Wall Street guys, and they basically were committing crimes and not getting punished
for when the gal says when the 50 grand that he's spending was a firefighter's pension.
Right.
Okay.
Like that to me is a different... Okay. Is a degree of like...
Yeah. I can...
You know what I mean? Like
I'll give
so,
sure.
In The Godfather, right? Like Vito Corleone is a deplorable human being. No questions asked.
But,
yeah.
but his attitude was, you came into my world,
right?
So your hands aren't clean,
right?
And these are the rules we play by.
Yeah, like when Enzo the Baker.
But Vito Corleone was pretty good about leaving innocence innocent.
Yes. But and like so, like when Enzo the Baker comes to him. And ask him for a favor.
Right.
You can see that, like, Vito was just kind of like, okay, like, you come to me on my daughter's wedding day, blah, 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 blah. He makes the cake
you
for the...
come to me on my daughter's
yeah,
wedding
he
day.
Makes the cake for the daughter. Like, it's
right.
all, you know, so, like...
And the other guy
a code
that,
of conduct.
That comes to him for a favor with the girl, the daughter that gets raped,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Like, that's the funeral director
right.
that they use to make Michael not look like Swiss cheese.
Right. No.
Sonny,
sorry. Yeah. But yeah, so like there's this code of conduct in that where you can kind of get behind.
Yeah.
So, but in this one, I will say that like I was at no point was I like, no, they probably shouldn't have done that. Granted, given the guy's drugs, not a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, but if they're the Wall Street guys that got away with swindling people out of their pensions and never did a day in jail for the, you know.
But they weren't all those guys.
Yeah, I mean.
And they also started dipping into not those guys.
When they get to the bigger guys.
The problem with the theory is that you don't ultimately know if those guys really did that.
Yeah, they know they're business suit guys that make a lot of money, but that doesn't mean they were necessarily those guys.
And I think that's where a movie like this could have felt grander if it was a little bit more nuanced in that, you know, because ultimately they're making the same stereotypical judgments about Wall Street guys that the Wall Street guys are making about strippers. Yes.
Right.
And so I think exploring that would have maybe added some texture and nuance that would have taken this movie up a level. And they kind of flirt with something later at the end that I found fascinating that I think would have been interesting to play out a little bit more.
Okay.
And we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah.
But
But I also think too, the problem is, especially in this climate, to root for people that are drugging people and stealing their money. I mean, if these were men doing this, there's no way you could tell this story.
Well,
I mean,
you're supposed
to root for these women, right? That are drugging people.
Yeah, I think you're rooting for two of them.
In the same way that you probably rooted for Henry Hill and Goodfellas up to a point.
Yeah. No, and I get it, and I struggle. Yeah. I mean, I just saw it yesterday, so it hasn't sunk in as much, but I'm trying to wrap my head around that. But during the movie, I just felt like these are our heroes of this story, and you're supposed to root for them.
But you're right in that if the genders were reversed, but that's also what makes it work, is that the genders have reversed. And it's also like, you know, they live in this world where people have zero qualms with exploiting them. But then when they exploit back, people are like, hey, like, that's not cool.
Right.
And it's, you know, and so.
I don't know, something just didn't sit right.
It's a catch 22. That's the bottom line. You know, like, you're right. If this was, it's almost, we talked about with the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels remake, where like when the reveal is that the dude was swindling them, you're just kind of like, I don't like
it. Isn't that weird though? But it's like,
it totally is.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's just kind of the way
it is.
It's the final girl syndrome. Like, that's kind of what it is. Like those slasher movies work because you're rooting for the girl.
Yeah.
But when you put a guy in that role, it doesn't work as well.
Now it's just an action movie
basically. Yeah. And you know, and it just doesn't work.
I wonder if the final girl aspect will become less effective over time as we see more action movies with female leads.
I think the final girl is done for now because the slasher genre is done.
Right.
So if that genre makes a comeback, then I think that trope will come back.
Yeah.
But I don't think we'll see that until
then. I'm just saying, like, you see action female heroes in a way that you didn't during the height of the slasher.
Yeah, I agree. That's totally true.
I think ultimately the problem that I had as we think about this movie is that they should have villainized the men more. They made them look like D-bags. They made them look like scumbags. But again, not illegal.
Three of them.
They should have, the reason the criminal stuff works, as you said, is that criminals are, you're rooting for one criminal who's a better criminal or doing this to other criminals. If they made it that every guy they ripped off was a criminal, then you would feel a little different. But I
guess I kind of took it that they were because the men weren't reporting the crimes.
Right.
And that.
Well, yeah, because they're blackmailing them.
I feel like we're discussing the movie before we discuss the movie. So let's start at the beginning of the movie. We'll get there.
We basically open up with Constance Wu from Crazy Rich Asians. And she's kind of, I'm not going to say she's low level, but she's a new stripper. And kind of like one of the hotter clubs in New York at this point.
It's her first day at the big club. She came from some other ones we found out.
And she's not really sure of herself. She's just trying to get, you know, there's some very funny scenes actually where she's like doing some very awkward dance moves on some guys. And it's just like, it's very awkward to watch. And she gets, you know, she finishes up her night. She has to, you know, she's tipping the owner.
By the time she tips everybody, she
walks
tip
out there like $200.
The DJ, the owner,
the other guy,
the scheduler, some guy just because he says tip me.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it shows how degrading the work can be for some strippers. So some strippers, as we'll find out, own it and they work it and they get a ton of money and everything. But in this one, you see all the stuff she has to deal with. And at the end of the day.
And I think a lot of people don't know the business model of a strip club. where it's kind of similar to a hair salon.
Sure.
And that you rent your space. And yeah. so like you have to pay a certain amount to go in. You're not actually an employee of the club. You're an independent contractor.
Uh-huh.
And then you pay a fee to have access. And then hopefully you make more money
than the fee.
And yeah. so it, you know, it is kind of a risk opportunity. At least that's my understanding as to yeah. how they operate.
Yeah, I mean,
the one I ran, yeah, that's what they do.
Maybe you should check out a Patreon episode coming yeah. up and we might be able to find out. So she kind of walks out of there and we meet her. She goes home and we meet her grandma. And this gives you an idea of as to what her character is, Constance Wu's character, where she has to do things to make money, but she's also kind of got the heart of gold. Where, like, the grandmother, she notices that her grandmother isn't wearing her necklace anymore because that means that she had to pawn it. She pawned it to make men's meat. And rather than keep the money.
What if she just didn't wear it that day? Like, I just, it's always funny in movies when they're like, oh, you're not wearing your necklace. Oh, it's fine. You just presume she pawned it. But it's like,
almost like the Marge Simpson necklace where just like you wear it every day.
I guess she does. I was thinking like.
So her grandmother is an animated character.
Correct.
Yes. And you
correct.
See her in the same
outfit.
It's
a bold choice. Yes.
It was
cinematically.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they did it in Dora. It worked there. Right. So they figured, what the hell? So instead of keeping what she just. The minuscule amount of money she just made.
Yeah.
She gives it over to the grandma. And the grandma's like, you don't have to do that. Like, well, you know, the typical grandmother.
Sure.
I don't need that. And I guess to Constance's, what's her character's name?
Dorothy, but her stage name is Destiny.
Right. Yeah. So Dorothy basically says, I live here. Like, I don't need the money technically. So she, does she have a day? No, she's just doing the stripping thing. We don't do that. We get to the day job later.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So she goes back.
She just goes back to
garbage night. And then all of a sudden.
Oh, the guy's calling her Lucy Lou.
Take
that guy's money.
That's like, the thing is like.
We should probably also establish that this movie is operating in a framing sequence. So like.
It does. Yeah.
She's being interviewed in 2014.
By Julia Stiles. Yeah. I was like, hey, good to see you.
And
glad you still exist.
Yeah. And so she's interviewing her for an article in a magazine and like clearly something happens.
Yes.
And she's relaying this story.
I like that device.
She's in a nice house.
She
so
looks
see
very.
Yes.
Things went well for
yes.
her.
I like that device. I feel like they could have used it more effectively yeah. than they did.
Oh, I don't
and
know.
And they do some cool things down the stretch that I wish they had done other things leading up to that.
Okay.
Like when she reaches over and turns off the tape recorder and all the audio in the film cuts out.
Yeah.
And like, I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And there was something else they did like using the device that I thought was cool. And I'm blanking on what it was.
Like when she called her on the phone too, or like, cause after she stops recording,
yeah.
but she still calls her.
And I will say in that scene, they do a really good job of giving you an idea of the time jump.
Mm. The time is handled beautifully.
I would agree. Yeah. I would agree completely
because then it flashes back to 2007. And as we jump forward through time, they establish time
through music,
through different like
strip joint music,
strip joint top 40 songs.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's like,
right.
Oh, it's Flo Rida, so it's 2010.
It's Britney.
Yeah. These were songs that like I heard on the popular radio stations,
yeah.
and so that was really cool because I could remember that time frame. Like when you go back to Goodfellas, like I wasn't alive then. I don't know the time period, but when you're talking about songs in the early 2000s, like that's
right.
when I listened to the
they
radio.
All I listen to is Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra.
I can't make that joke.
I can make that joke.
Oh.
Mel Torme.
Yeah, Mel Torme. Yeah. Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking it was a joke. I'm like, okay, if you say so, no. Joe, that's yeah. okay.
That's all I had. Intimate knowledge yeah. of the La Casa Nostra. So, yeah. So she, very slow night. And then all of a sudden, J-Lo comes
this
on
vision
stage. And
enters.
Good Christ.
Ramona.
Like, J-Lo has always been an amazing looking woman.
Someone said, like, which is true, they said, oh, she looks amazing for 50. I'm like, she looks amazing for 20.
Yeah.
Like it's just, she doesn't
there
age.
Is no need to put an asterisk
no,
there.
No, she's insane.
J-Lo, I grew up, you know, when J-Lo was probably in her late 20s, and I was like, wow, you know, obviously she's gorgeous and all this, and it's like, that never went away.
Nope,
I remember that, what was it, like MTV Movie Awards, was it? With
it
the
was
dress?
The green
yeah.
dress.
Yeah. yeah, which was, you know, the famous news that was going around wherever she wore that, and like, so I grew up with her in that era, and it's like she never
God,
stopped.
You're so young. Like I remember her as a fly girl.
I remember her in
the Janet Jackson video.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
right.
I never
yeah.
saw anything early, but I just those are my among my earliest memories. Was that dress was big news at the time, and I watched MTV.
Was that coming off Selena?
I bet. I mean, Selena was probably a little earlier than that, okay. I think. But Jennifer Lopez has never aged, even though her acting career, you know, at points, it's like
ebbs and flows.
Kind of, yeah. But it's like one thing that has stayed consistent is she is a gorgeous woman. And a lot of women her age don't, you know, wear outfits like she does in this movie.
Time takes toll. That's just the way it is.
And, and it's not to be insulting. It's just not.
And to be able to dress like she does in this film.
Yes. Yeah.
And beyond just taking it out of the male gaze and just say to be believable as a top level stripper.
Yeah.
You know, is it says a lot.
It does.
She's a dancer. I mean, that has been her career since she was on In Living Color.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, she's been a dancer, a performer her entire career. To do these kind of moves, she had to do some training. She had to do some research.
Oh, yeah.
To be able to do these stripper moves.
Probably, but I mean, she probably didn't have to do much.
No,
I don't mean like, oh, she must already know how to work a pole. I just mean that like she's a professional dancer and has been her entire career and has always remained in.
I feel like that's one of those
in working shape. And
like,
so,
but it was authentic though. The moves. I mean, the way it's not just like, oh, you can dance and oh, you look good and your body looks good. But like when she's performing in the club and does the moves where she's on her back and opening her legs and climbing the pole. I mean. It was like, it didn't look like an actor trying to pretend to be a stripper.
Sure.
She had a routine down.
I feel like there is a certain gene that people have where it's just like, oh, you're good at baseball.
Yeah.
Or so I feel like she has one of those genes where
dancing
it's just dancing
gene.
Just
yeah, sure.
like any and any style just comes completely natural.
She also has the Dick Clark gene.
Which is, what is that?
Not aging.
Oh, right.
Well, that's because Dick Clark got surgery after surgery after surgery.
Even before the surgeries, like, you know, because he didn't look freakish the way
most
people at that age
like
that
have Kenny Rogers.
Right, yeah. You know. But
what is J-Lo on American Idol? Is that what
she
was? Doing?
She was, anymore. But I don't. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're on a different network now.
Right.
It's Katy Perry.
But for a while, she was a judge.
Yeah.
That was kind of. I mean, I didn't hear of her doing anything else. Really,
she did that.
Well, I know she did that one.
The Boy
Next
Door?
Did that one movie, but for the most part, it's like she's kind of been away. I mean, this is a return to her doing some. It's a pretty serious role. You know what I mean? I mean, the subject matter is not one that you would necessarily always attach to a serious movie, but this movie requires some acting. It's not a comedy. It's not a goofy, you know.
I see, that's where I got to disagree. I don't think, to me, she's not playing a character. She's playing J-Lo. Like,
really?
I feel like, there's at no point in this movie where I felt like,
I wouldn't say that she got lost in the role.
Yeah, I felt like to me, she felt like that person. Is she as bubbly as she was on American Idol? No, but I feel like this would be like, so Adam Sandler in Funny People.
Yeah,
I don't think he was acting.
Okay,
I think that was Adam Sandler.
Really?
To me, I think, with the exception of the dancing. I think that's J-Lo.
Okay.
You know, like, I don't.
She just had she had an attitude that I just don't
feel
like.
And that's not a bad
like,
thing. She's not bad by any stretch of the imagination of this
to
movie.
To me, it's just, I feel like she really got into this kind of, obviously she doesn't come from money. She's done very well for herself in the strip joint, but she obviously comes from a meager growing up.
Yeah, we don't really get
she's
any
kind
idea,
of the street.
Yeah.
She's a street, kind of a street smart.
Yeah. Like Jennifer Lopez. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Jenny from the Block.
Yeah,
like you know.
That's true. Okay. Fair enough. So maybe she's playing like herself coming up into money from early.
I think the best characters and the best believable characters, this is your only wrestling reference, is when they take that character
I promise
and they turn it up to 11.
Okay,
right.
Stone Cold Steve Austin just
turns it up a little bit when the camera's on, but when the camera's off, it's the same guy. That makes him believable.
So maybe she's tapping into that, and that's why it is her. Like you said, she doesn't have to stretch much, but then it's also still very believable because she's just being
who she is, living in the penthouse, like, you know, has a nanny, you know, like
she does well in this role. She is good in this role, but it's not Oscar level like some people are talking.
Yeah,
people are talking.
I don't
Oscar
see that
buzz,
at all.
It's like,
I think
not...
it's because we're very early into the fall and they haven't seen a lot of other movies of dramatic quality.
I don't know how you can say that she is on the Oscar level yet and not talk about,
well,
like,
she's been nominated before.
No, I mean for this movie.
Yeah.
And not automatically be like DiCaprio and Brad Pitt, same thing. Like to me,
right, her performance is not on the level, and you're using men, but not as a sex thing. It's
no,
just
like
those performances.
Yeah,
right.
No.
That's
not
what
as
I mean. J-Lo is good, but like this role, she doesn't do anything.
The Oscar buzz, I think, is
it'll go away
unless if she does get an Oscar nod. I think it's because of her stature,
probably,
and they want
she's been working
she been
for
nominated
a long time,
before?
And they Yeah, for Out of Sight, I believe she got nominated.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
that's a great movie.
I think. I'm not 100%, but I thought that's what she got nominated for. Okay. But
my favorite movie of hers is The Cell.
I've never seen that one.
That is a weird movie.
It is. It's Tarsum. Yeah.
That's
but
that's
I going think
off.
I could see the Academy being like, oh, they like to have stars show up. And yeah. so yeah, like right. I could see, you know, something like that. But I just don't think that.
How do we get Alex Rodriguez to the Oscars? Yeah. Oh, I know. We'll nominate his girlfriend.
Right. But she's good in this movie.
She, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Good, yeah. Absolutely. But
both of them together, I think, are very like yeah. there's some good chemistry between.
I
them.
Like just don't think it's quite Oscar level.
Yeah. When she embraces her, you know, just to skip forward, Constance Wu's character sees her performing and she basically says, I want to be like you. She goes up on the roof. They're having a smoke break and they have this bonding moment where J-Lo takes
it's
her.
It's almost immediate.
Yeah. J-Lo takes her under her wing, you know, kind of literally under her fur
yeah,
coat.
Legit, yeah.
And she's basically, what if we work together? And she starts training Destiny and teaching her, showing her the ropes and everything. And I really believed their chemistry, though. It was a very sweet, very like mother, daughter, sisterly yeah. bond. So I thought both of them did share a great chemistry.
And I got to tell you, if I never see Cardi B again, it'll be too soon.
Not a
she,
fan?
Oh my God. That was the worst part of the movie.
Really?
She annoys me to no
Which
end.
Which one was she?
She's the gal that like.
She had her boobs out like. Her outfits are very revealing.
She had like the stars on her boobs.
She had the nipple okay. covers.
And
but
she was the one that was teaching her how to do a lap dance.
Okay.
Yeah. But like, no.
Yeah. Like she was on J-Lo giving the lap dance to show her how
to
do
it. And then you never see her again.
Yeah.
Like she's in that
well,
one.
It's kind of the same way with Lizzo.
It is. Yeah. And I feel like Lizzo.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was
yeah.
Lizzo.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like one. That's super yeah. smart to put her in there.
Yeah.
And like the timing couldn't have been better because she is blowing up
yeah.
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, she is.
Like she is skyrocketing.
But yeah. that's, I did think it was really cool how in the strip club just showed like the diverse, there's all sorts of different dances,
oh, yeah.
different sizes, different colors, because your clientele are all into different things. So it was smart not to have
right.
like your stereo.
It's been probably 25 years since I've been in a strip club, but like I don't remember ever seeing any larger.
I never
dancers.
Did. No, I mean it's so it would have been like
is that a is
it might
that
be a newer
is
thing,
that a real is it even
be.
Real?
It could be. I mean,
do you think? I don't know. I'm just
I gotta well, think that there's somebody for everybody. Like everybody's into something.
I also yeah. think when you're in a smaller community that maybe lacks the employees, if you know, like they can't get the Russian
yeah,
models
but,
as we
but
see
but this
you know?
Is like the hottest strip club in Manhattan.
Oh no, totally.
Yeah.
And that may be a more modern thing. I just mean yeah. in general, like I think you definitely do see that when it's just harder to find dancers.
Sure.
And so they're more willing to accept, you know, whoever will
Well,
work,
I also but... I also think that if it's an exclusive club like that, that maybe there are some tastes that are different from a typical yeah. quote unquote stereotypical quote unquote yeah. stripper.
Well, that's what I mean.
Like,
that's how I took
somebody
it.
For everybody.
That's how that's I took it. I thought it was cool because it's like that's smart. If there's people that are willing to spend money and if they see something they like, they're going to spend
right.
more money. So it's smart. Have a diverse array of
yeah.
women there.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
which is kind of what our little team of Charlie's Angels turns out to be.
Yeah.
Like when we get our four main characters that, you know, you've got Jennifer Lopez, you've got an Asian woman, you've got a white woman, and you've got a black woman. And a Latina woman.
Yeah.
So you've got
smart.
Like all
you've got
three.
The, right. Because yeah. you're working guys and there's going to be one of them that will be probably
somebody
more attractive.
Want, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So basically what happens is J-Lo kind of starts to break Dorothy in and then they start making money. Like they're making money, lots of
yeah.
money. They're making so much money. And this is kind of the Goodfellas kind of aspect where it's just like they're making so much money. They don't know what to do. Like that scene where Henry Hill is like stuffing the money in the
well,
ceiling.
You're Italian, you know, on a first name basis.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah. yeah. But he's not the guy from King of the Hill.
Right.
I was, whenever they say Henry Hill, I always think the Music Man.
yeah.
That was Professor Henry Hill.
But like in Goodfellas, like he's stuffing money in the,
yeah.
the ceiling and he's
yeah.
putting in the toilet. So like he's just making money. And this is kind of where they are. And
Dorothy's
all,
moved out. She's got an apartment. You know,
right.
she was living with the grandmother. She's paying off different bills, giving her grandmother big wads of cash.
Basically working parties, working, you know, all yeah. this other stuff. And then the stock market crashes.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Of course their
so
business
all the people
would take
spending
a
money
massive,
aren't
they don't have
aren't
their money.
Blowing the money anymore.
Yeah,
yeah.
I do like that Brad, or Brett, depending on which, you know, version is in this movie from Pulp Fiction. He's the guy who's like looking. This is the guy who I was like, take every single dime this scumbag has.
See, there are definitely people that you're like,
yeah
okay.
Because like he's watching porn like on his like the scene where he's like he's watching porn on his computer at work, and he's like talks to the assistant, he's like, check that out, you like that? And I was like, no, fleece that scumbag. Take him for everything he's got.
And it's like nowadays he would be sued so quickly.
Oh yeah,
like you can't do that in the workplace.
No. Well, maybe those guys can.
But this is back in the early 2000s.
But I think in a lot of ways those guys can because they're making so much money for the company that like you have it takes a lot. Like I'm not saying that it won't be an issue, but that it's more like somebody just okay, we're sorry you saw that. Here's a check.
Pay you off.
Go away.
Here's your $2,000.
Yeah.
Check out the big brain on Brad. So the market crashes. They all like I think.
Well, she gets pregnant.
Does she get pregnant?
Because the market crashes, but
and then she gets pregnant.
Yeah,
you're right. And then of course the boyfriend's like, "I'll take care of you." And of course, the boyfriend is like, you know,
deadbeat.
Basically, you don't.
He says, "I'll take care of you," because they're not making any money. Unquote. So she quits stripping, but then he's just gone. So
yeah. So she has this baby, and the baby's adorable, like a super cute kid. And she's shopping at like a dollar store, and she's trying to get. I do love this is a great scene where she goes to like a cosmetics counter, and the gal's like, "You have this gap in your employment." She's like, "But what did you do at?"
I was a waitress and a bartender.
Like, I was a bartender. What'd you do at this one? She's like bartending.
She says bartending. Mostly.
But she's like, "Do you have any retail experience?" And I want to. And when she's like, "No," I was like, "But you do. Like, you are selling all the time."
Well, yeah, but
then she's
got
to own up to having been a dancer.
True. Yeah,
she
they're definitely not going to hire her at a department store.
No. Right. And she's like, "I would like to get experience."
Yeah.
And she was like,
"That's the classic trope of the job that says 5 years experience required." And you're like, "Well, how am I supposed to get experience if you need experience?" Right. And it's
And she, of course, she doesn't get the job. And I'm trying to, so she goes back to the club and the club is garbage.
And now the guys are really scummy. The people left over now, instead of spending, you know, $500 on one dance, like they're spending
$20.
They're spending $20s, but if they spend $300, they're actually getting sexual favors, which is obviously illegal. But they said they removed the cameras because that's the only way they could get business.
Right. They took the cameras out of the champagne room
so they can do. Yeah.
And that's where we're reintroduced to Ma, who's like the den mother of the strippers.
Oh, Ma. All the kids like to party at Ma's.
Yeah. we find out that like most of the original crew of girls are basically gone.
Yeah.
And it's all Russians for the most part.
Russian models.
Like, right. And so it's a very heartbreaking scene where Dorothy.
It's not the wholesome strip club that we've come to know and
it
love.
Is not. It is much seedier and grosser now. This guy is like a complete scumbag where like he keeps trying to touch her and she's like kind of like egging him, like not egging him on, but like
feel good.
Pushing him off. And finally he gives her what she thinks to be $300, and she does what she does. And then as soon as she realizes what's happened, she walks out of the, and then she walks out, and then in walks J-Lo.
Yeah.
But she's working a scam.
But she's also being interviewed by Julia Stiles' character, and she says,
"Right,
you know, you can believe me or not, but when I looked at the money, it was $320.
It was not $300; it was $320.
So she just, you know, blew him
for $60
for $60, and it was supposed to be $300.
Right. So, and in walks J-Lo, not dancing. It's just like she walks in with a dude.
I thought she was like an escort. Was my first time.
That's
like,
what
oh,
I
she's doing
too.
Something different now.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, she's doing something different.
Yeah. It was her and the other girl, right? Or on his arm,
the white girl,
blonde girl. Yeah,
he maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Brittany Murphy.
We hadn't been introduced to her yet, but I think that's who it was because she was already working with her and then we're.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there like Alexandria or something?
I don't know.
Was her name? Yeah.
So
ancillary stripper character.
Yes.
Yeah. Not Brittany Murphy. But she pukes a lot,
which I thought
was
funny. A good trope.
I was
laughing/
being grossed out the whole time because, that was her
every
running
time.
Gag.
And I do like, she's like, I'm sorry. I don't know why I do that.
Yeah. Everywhere. And I'm like, oh, come on.
They kind of reconnect and they go out and have dinner and she kind of says, "Look, I don't want to do this. Like, this is ridiculous." And J-Lo kind of breaks it down and says, "I'm working something. Yeah. Would you like to come in?
I just made $5,000 tonight. This is what we're doing."
Right. And she kind of explains that she's dosing him with MDMA and something else.
Ketamine.
Yeah. And it's like we don't get him too messed up, but just messed up enough where we can kind of run
their ketamine
car.
Erases their memory, and the dopamine
makes them happy. So they just had a good time, and then they can't say anything because what are you going to say that we spent $5,000 at a strip joint?
Right.
You know,
that's the premise, and I think it was in the trailers.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
So another problem I had with the movie was this point, because I looked at my clock, it was about 40 minutes in. It's just like there's no crime going on. It's just them stripping, being successful, and then the stock market crash. And I'm like, let's get into the story. Like, I just felt like it dragged a little long because they were trying to build this Goodfellas empire.
I liked this early stuff of just kind of seeing how it worked. And, you know, I will also say, I don't think we've addressed this, but like for a movie about a strip club, there is not a lot of nudity in this movie. But like,
there's very little.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that, like I would have thought
it was like a pasty bar
in a lot of ways. But I also felt
non-stars were topless in the background. Yeah, and the stars.
But even then, a lot of them weren't. Like there was, like,
but there was always one or two girls.
Right. But like normally, when you get the shot of a strip club, they're all naked.
Right.
You know, that's interesting because I felt the complete opposite way. I felt like it was a little too much stripper porn. I don't know what you would call it, but you know,
I did not feel
the first at least 20 minutes was just like,
because
girls
they have to establish
in the strip club. You could establish it quicker though. To me, like, I wasn't there just to watch stripper. Like, I wanted the story. I wanted to get in. Just my personal take was I wanted to get into the meat of it, introduce the characters. That's fine. But I want to know the hustle. I want to know what we're here for. It's called Hustlers. And so, like, they spent way too much time, in my opinion.
I looked at it as being a dancer was its own kind of hustle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, to me, they were always hustlers. And, you know, and not necessarily.
The hustle got stepped up
right
a notch.
And I use both versions of the word because, you know, somebody with a hustle isn't always necessarily doing something illegal.
Right.
Sure.
No, in fact, I was surprised for a movie about naked women or women who get naked for a living. I was surprised at how little this movie seemed to be for the male gaze.
It did not seem very exploitative.
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 Yeah. And like, because I remember coming home and telling my wife, I'm like, I think you would really like this movie. And she's like, would I now? And I was like,
Katie loved it.
Yeah. And
it
was like, yeah. I'm like, it's really about how these women kind of take revenge on the assholes at men at the strip clubs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's really not about, hey, let's look at hot chicks.
Directed by a woman.
Yeah, and it shows.
Yeah,
it shows.
Actually, that's probably the only way they could do this is because if it was directed by a dude, I have to believe they would have doubled down, no pun intended.
I think even a guy that's not trying to do that
would do it.
Will still, like, you
would
can't,
evoke that.
You
outrage.
Can't see where your own blind spots are.
Yeah, totally.
And so I think that you would, you know, those. You know, I'd also be interested in see if it was edited by a woman because I just think that you'd linger a little longer on the butt than you should or, you know, you'd crop that shot so you'd see that extra boob or
it's
whatever.
It's the Wonder Woman problem. Remember, like,
not problem, but yeah.
Well, no, in the first one,
people complain that Zack Snyder's all the women have sexy armor and they linger.
Oh,
on the
you
butt
mean
shot
in the movie?
So in the Patty Jenkins version, there's nothing sexy about that. I mean, there is, but there's nothing sexy about that outfit. In the Zack Snyder version, there are some scenes where she's like slides across the floor and the flaps come up on her chainmail, I guess. And
her skirt,
yeah, and he lingers on her butt a little bit too long. Now,
well, there's also the famous shot in Wonder Woman where, like, you see her thighs jiggle, because she's a human being,
correct?
And
the actress
is a human being,
fair enough.
And no matter what
she's an actress, she's not really Wonder Woman.
No matter what kind of shape you're in, you still have some degree of body fat,
sure.
And you know, but
I've never noticed that.
Yeah.
But
three of us. Like,
you, you should get a full length mirror.
Why would I want to hurt my feelings?
Yeah, that doesn't sound smart.
But yeah, I mean, I really didn't like this movie. Could have been very lurid.
It could have.
It could have
been worse.
Yeah. Striptease or showgirls is a prime example of when it's gratuitous. I feel like striptease is that a bad movie? I feel like I don't remember it being a bad movie.
Oh, it's a striptease. I mean, it was. I'm sorry, in my head, I was thinking
Showgirls is atrocious.
I was like, how are you asking?
Showgirls is the guy that directed RoboCop.
Yeah, it's also got Jesse Spano.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Why did I do this movie? But yeah, so like,
I will say, just, you know, for the record, again, I didn't hate this movie.
I did not hate it.
I didn't think it was great, but I've put it on the record on this show before, like Pain and Gain, I did not like because it's based on a true story.
Yeah. What about Wolf of Wall Street?
Well, I love Wolf of Wall Street, though. I don't know why. I can't remember.
What's the difference?
Scorsese.
It's just such a good
movie.
But
you're still rooting for the...
I
liked Pain and Gain up until its tone should have shifted and it didn't.
Yeah, tonally, that movie was a mess.
When they started killing people, especially people
real
that were
people.
Innocent,
yes.
That did not do anything to bring this on themselves, yes. and playing it for laughs, it was like... You missed the boat. If you had downshifted here, yes. and been like, this has gotten out of hand and it's not funny anymore, yeah. and played it that way, I think they would have had a great movie on their hands.
They tried to be goofy, but you were killing people, innocent people, real people.
But I also feel like, I do feel like this movie sets up that these guys they're ripping off aren't innocent. And that
I agree. Except for that one guy.
Until they snag an innocent one.
Yeah.
Then that innocent guy does what an innocent guy does, which is call the police.
Right.
And the fact, and they weren't calling the police because they weren't innocent.
But I don't think all those guys were not innocent. I think a lot of those guys were scumbags, but I also think they had either families or, again, it's scumbag, but also they weren't necessarily doing illegal things.
Here's where the movie comes close to genius, and I think it kind of punted.
Okay.
So where when the cops get called in and start interviewing people.
Oh, my God. That scene where he hangs up on the guy?
Yeah.
I lost my mind. Yeah.
Okay. Here's where, and I feel like they touch on this a little bit. But I really feel like if they'd have explored this a little bit more, this would have been the thing that took this movie from good to great. Because when these men start getting ripped off, and nobody wants to believe them, and the attitude is basically, well, what were you wearing?
Yeah.
What did you lead them on?
Were you drinking?
What'd you expect to happen? Why'd you go there in the first place, right?
That's
solid. It very much parallels... women getting raped and not getting believed,
and that
they feel that shame, they don't want to admit that this happened to them, that they fell for it, or that they were weak and taken advantage of.
Sure.
And then the police don't believe them initially, and when they do believe them, they kind of laugh at them.
Right.
Or
the one guy, the cop even says, he's like, I must have had a good time.
Right.
He went back for a second time.
Yo, you were asking for it.
Yeah, right?
And so there's this whole parallel line of these men are finally seeing what it feels like to be a woman.
Right. That's very true.
And
they could have doubled down on
that. And I feel like there's a moment where it kind of like makes that point, but I also don't think that they should beat you over the head with it, but I do feel like it's a
subtlety.
It's a theme that would have been very interesting if they could have explored it a little more, because now they weren't raped, or sexually assaulted. I mean, I guess you could maybe make the argument that they were
drugged.
As they were drugged, the girls were like, all right, cool. You stay there. We'll just sit here. And
right.
They didn't touch them.
I totally agree with you.
But it's not like, man, this is a weird thought process. It's yes, they were drugged. But as soon as they were incapacitated to the point of not knowing what's going on, the two girls, whoever they were with, left them alone. They let them sleep it off, and they just spent some money and got booze and drinks or whatever.
But these are criminals.
Totally.
Women
just don't tend to commit sexual assaults in that manner. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not, I don't even think that it's like, it says something about their character. I think it just says something about human nature. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure, sure.
That women don't see an incapacitated man and think, I could take advantage of that sexually.
Right.
In the same way that some men do.
Right.
Yeah. Well, because these women don't need to do that.
Right. And they have no interest. The whole reason they're doing this is because they don't want to touch these men. No.
Right.
You know?
Right, right, right.
But anyway, I thought that was a really clever and interesting part of this movie that I wish they would have extrapolated.
They would have too. I do think that's really interesting. One of the things that frustrated me during the movie was that in their plan that after J-Lo ropes in Destiny and they have their little squad of the four we mentioned, they try to, you know, one of them will rope a guy in at the bar and then the other sisters, quote unquote, show up.
Right.
They slip them the drugs and then they go charge up their credit card and they do this over and over. They're always at the same bar.
That is a
problem.
And
this is where I'm like, stupid criminals. Okay. If these guys are all showing up to the same bar, it's the same four women at the same place in the bar, and every one of these guys gets drugged, I'm like, you're so dumb for this plan. It just was frustrating me
that
they didn't
sure.
use another bar.
They're definitely in like the same corner.
It's the same bar.
No, it is absolutely the same bar. Like, I'm not arguing that. Where I was going is I'm not sure if they were like really using the same bar or if that was just a shortcut and kind of visual punchline that the filmmakers chose, that because they're just to show you over and over again, same thing, same thing, same thing. And to do that, they put it in the same location.
I feel like you could land on that, but in my mind, it's like, oh, they don't want to set up multiple locations. They filmed in the same bar.
Can we talk about that Buzz is in this movie?
What?
The guy that she calls Ben?
That's him?
It's Buzz. That is Macaulay Culkin's brother from Home Alone.
I knew he looked familiar, and I knew that guy was really heavy now, but he must have lost weight because he looks healthier than he does.
So Spath and I saw this. As soon as we both saw
him. Movie boyfriend Brian Spath?
Don't start with me.
Your movie boyfriend last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's doing well.
Son of a bitch. But we were both like, is that Buzz? So we both immediately went to the phone. We're just like, that's totally Buzz. Like,
that's why he looks so
familiar. Has like a, like Constance Wu has a list of regulars, and this Barry, that's what it was. Barry.
Yeah.
Was like the last guy on the list. And she calls him up and he's got this lush, home. And all of a sudden
I love the scene, a woman walks
in the background
trying to avoid his wife on the phone. Yeah. And I thought this was a really neat scene that like they establish just how rich this dude is.
Right.
By like he keeps going to a different room to get further away. And the rooms are like each one's more opulent than the last.
And then he has like a pool, like a hotel would have an indoor pool.
Right.
He has a pool and a sauna out in this wooden like.
But I love that she calls him and he was like, look, this is the deal, blah, blah. And he was like, That's great. I'm so glad to hear from you. I would love to help you, but so and so. So and so came back. And
like my fiance. She was my fiance. She's my wife.
She's my wife now. And she's like, oh, that's great. Just hangs up and like crosses the name.
That laptop scene was amazing.
Yeah.
Where he's trying to talk to her, and you can tell he's like a genuinely nice guy, and he's just making conversation at the strip club with her, and
your penmanship is amazing.
You know, you can have a font and all this. She's like, I don't have a laptop, but then she's like, well, I guess that's why my handwriting's so good. It's a really cute scene. And in the next scene, she's typing at a laptop in the dressing room. It was a great.
Yeah, have you ever heard Kevin Smith's strip club story?
No,
I don't think so.
Oh my god, it's so good.
What was it on?
I read it on his blog million years ago, and he talks about how he's in a strip club, and he kind of has our opinion of strip clubs, and this girl comes over and like sits down next to him, a dancer, and it's just like, is it okay if I sit here for a little bit? She's like, God, the guys in this club are just such dicks, and he's like, yeah, sure, and so she sits there and they're talking, and they really hit it off, and she seems really nice, and she's just going on about how, you know, how hard it is to work there. And like, this isn't her long-term goal, but that like, you know, she wants to do other things. And she's just like, well, I better get going. Cause like, I need to like, she's like, if I'm not dancing or generating revenue, like they're,
oh, he pays her to talk
and
to
he,
him.
And he pays, nice. And so he pays her to talk to him, you know? And so he's like, I'll just cover it, you know?
Yeah, right.
And he's like, and he's just like, oh, I feel so bad for this girl. Like she's got, you know, she just doesn't want to do this. And he's like, oh, like the guys in these clubs are so skeevy and so stupid. And he's like, and he's like a month later, he ends back up in the same club and he's sitting there towards the back like last time. And she comes and she flops down next to him and she's like,
can I just sit here?
Is it okay if I just sit here for a little bit?
Oh, no.
And he's like, I'm just as dumb,
it's a play.
But in a different way. Yeah, like she's figured out that there's this, and like this guy is that guy.
That guy is that guy.
Yeah.
He absolutely. So it's going really well. They're making lots of money. Everything's going well. The other two, like they start to expand the empire a little bit and they realize they got to bring in some girls and the
consultants.
The rule has always been no convicts, no junkies.
I like they go to the food court to have like try auditions.
Right, right.
And so the mom character is helping them out.
Right. And then they bring in like the one girl who was from the other club, and she was like, she just got out of jail for drugs. And she was like, no, she's clean now. And then you see her take a bump off her nail. Yeah. And she was like, all right, well, let me at least buy her lunch. And so, but the scene, so the basically they get a little ahead of themselves. They get too big for their own britches.
I was like, oh, as soon as you start outsourcing, this is not going to go. That's the way it's going to go.
And they bring in a girl.
What was her name?
The junkie girl they bring in?
Yeah.
The redhead?
No, it was Dawn.
Yeah.
Dawn. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
I could not help but to laugh out loud. Yeah. Because it's like the unreliable junkie.
Yeah, junkie. Yeah. And she goes overboard. And she gets pinched by the cops. So the cops
set up.
She's
just awful.
She's so far out of control. She's a junkie herself.
For some reason.
Is that offensive? Is that an offensive word? Junkie?
I don't know.
I feel like
they use it in the movie. So I feel like I'm covered.
Well, I mean, I guess if you want to be nice, you say addict.
I guess.
Tend to think of an addict who's more of like when someone's trying to get help. But
they're definitely not getting
when
help.
They're just being sleazebags.
The junkies like train spotting. Right.
Yeah, junkies. Yeah.
So she goes overboard. The cops end up the Buzz, but another guy calls and's like, I can't like. The corporation found out that I maxed out the credit card and all my money's off my accounts are
real.
Gone.
This guy really lost $130,000. He was a doctor in real life.
Oh,
and
okay.
For some reason, he went back four times. I guess he thought he had a good time the first time. And then, I mean, if you lose $30,000, and now they live in a different world, maybe this is like $1,000 to the normal people or whatever, but it's just weird. The weird part of the story is that he went back three times.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you do it once and you whack up $30,000. Do you really go back? Yeah. Like, that's an expensive.
But I will also say, going back to my analogy, like, how many times do we hear people ask the same thing of female
right.
victims of like, well, why did you still work there?
Why did you go back three times?
Why did you keep dating this guy who hit you?
Right.
Or why did you, you know what I mean? Like there's the, you know, the human mind does weird things.
It
sometimes.
Does. I just feel like this doctor that's loaded, like he has a good time that he can't even remember. Do you really keep going back? I mean,
There are plenty of good times that I don't remember.
It cost
me a 24 pack of Bush Light. Like that's what that cost me.
It's a weird thing, but this is based. I mean, this whole movie is based on a true story. But like this guy, he did an interview recently. Yeah, but like he was on the front page of a newspaper. Like, and I think they show it in the movie, like that version of it. And it really happened like this.
Okay, and this is kind of the point where Dorothy cuts off the interview. You can't really like it, the entire time Julia Stiles never comes off as like she's trying to paint them in a bad light.
Yeah.
She's always trying to stay objective with the story.
But she's also so removed that while she doesn't come off like she's trying to paint them in a bad light, you can't tell if
she's on their side or if she's not
right.
on their side.
Like she's and that's not
a journalist though.
Right. I was just trying to make the point that like that's not a critique of her performance.
No.
That is what the character is trying to do.
I miss Julia Stiles.
I've never been a fan, but I liked her in this movie.
I think 10 Things I Hate About You,
she
man.
Was fine.
I love that movie. Yeah, 10 Things I Hate About You, right?
Yeah. I never was a fan either, and I thought she was fine in this. I know a lot of people like what I've heard. They're like, oh, so great to see Julia Stiles. I love this role. But it's kind of a thankless role. I mean, she's listening to Constance Wu, and she has to react a couple times.
Yeah,
but I'm like,
right.
What is she really? And it's a very, like, you know, they filmed it all in one day. I mean, she
sure.
just,
yeah.
It's very
this
short.
This isn't the project that she was pissed that she got knocked out of, I guess.
No, because this would already been done.
Right. Okay, so I wonder what she was doing.
Well, and she did this. So
that's what I'm saying. Like I remember, like she was mad that she lost a role because she had to go back to do.
She had to go back and do.
Yeah, she was just in Jason Bourne movie.
Yeah, well, they killed her.
I knew we'd seen her.
Spoilers.
Oh, Stiles. He's talking about Constance Wu.
No, I was talking about Julia Stiles.
Yeah,
I was like, I knew I'd seen her in something recently.
They kill her in the first 2 minutes of that movie.
But he was talking about that blow up that she had because Crazy Rich Asians 2 was going to interfere with her getting a role she really wanted.
It's Hustlers 2.
Because I didn't know she was in this until I saw it. I had never watched the preview, so I'm like, oh, it's Constance Wu. Like, I hadn't heard or seen from her since that little blow up or whatever.
So basically, she says that, like, I mean, she kind of starts, she's starting to, like, question Julia Stiles' motive. At this point, and then she's like, look, it's fine. I've already talked to Ramona, right?
Is that her name?
Yeah.
And she was just like, time out.
Yeah.
You've already
talked.
Why are
you talking to me then?
Yeah. And then she stops. She's like, I don't know what you're trying to get me to say. She stops the interview and kind of cuts it all off. And then we find out that once those, once the one guy came forward, they realized these two cops started to put things together that other men had come forward, and they just wrote it off as like dumbasses.
And they probably went to that bar and said, "Do you recognize these four people that are in here every night?" Like, that's right. It's just, I hate dumb, like, the movies I like are the, you know, not that I'm condoning crime, but these are movies, and like, I like it when the criminals are smart. And
sometimes you can root
have
for
this
criminal.
Empire, but I hate dumb criminals because I'm like, it's right there. You know, I'm like, why are you doing this stupid thing that's going to get you caught?
Right.
Like, I just was like yelling at them, go to a different place.
So
people would just get cocky.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And that's, I mean, Goodfellas, Casino, all that stuff.
Yeah. But it was the same bartender. So much, like, you're going to be incriminated. You have witnesses everywhere.
I feel like they don't show this, which they probably should have.
He's not in on it because he charges them when the guy doesn't go with them. He gives them a bill. If he was in on it, he wouldn't have charged them for the drinks.
Oh, I don't know about that. That's
if he was in on it, he would have been. If they were cutting
him in.
I do like that
where they're just like, God.
Because they show it. Because that's
the one guy's like,
Katie,
no, thank
I'm
you.
Like, this is dumb. And she's like, oh, well, maybe I think the place is in it. And I'm like, no, because when the guy's like, no, thanks. And they say they started catching on, he hands them the bill.
Right.
If he's getting cut, they're sure as hell not paying for drinks. And J-Lo's mad that she has to spend their money they don't have on
I guess I felt like that was showing early not... in the process.
Oh,
but I'm just like, I hear what you're saying.
But
I
anyway.
Agree. Yeah. So now the cops have issued arrest warrants. So Jennifer Lopez is getting money out of the ATM, and they arrest all three of them. Of course, the white girl
visiting her husband in jail, and then they open up to leave.
Do you hear what she says? She's like, "I'm gonna go see my real man on the outside," blah blah blah. And then all of a sudden, it opens up, and she's like, "Damn!" The girl pukes, and she's like, "As she's getting
home
handcuffed,
with her cat,
she's like, oh, the one wholesome one out of the whole group, just sitting at home with her cat." All of a sudden, hear the cops at her door.
Yeah.
Like the text just says run.
So they all get put in jail.
Would they really all be locked up together in the same cell?
I don't. That probably not. Unlikely. They would probably keep them separate.
Yeah. Especially if you're together, because I mean that could start fights. And what are you going to tell them?
They get their story together. I worked plenty of double co-defendant cases where it's just like that one. They cannot be together.
Yeah, you can't they're all going to get their story straight. That's I hate that in movies. To show them all in jail together, like, that would never happen.
I could see it maybe happening in a police station on accident.
On a low-level crime.
But this is federal charges. Right. Like, they know these people, and they're going to put them all in the cell? Yeah, no.
Right. So,
they interrogate them, and...
They do ask, like, who's in charge? Yeah. And then, so Dorothy and Ramona kind of look at each other. They break it down, and they put Dorothy in... on her own, and they kind of start breaking her down. They're like, look, if you think for one second they're gonna not turn on you to get themselves out of here, you got to think your daughter.
I think they use the daughter against
and then
her.
She takes the deal.
Whatever
the deal
we don't
is.
Know yet, but then they let them all go,
right?
And Jayla's like, we should get a lawyer. Who's that guy? Do we know someone from the club? And then Dorothy says,
I took the deal.
And
she's and they've made a running gag that motherhood is like a mental illness.
Yeah.
And Dorothy admits to that. She's like, I can't take that chance, you know. And I think J-Lo immediately understands.
Because she has a daughter
has
we've
a
been
daughter
introduced
well,
to.
Yeah.
She had a little girl since before Dorothy did. So they've all grown up together as kind of a family.
Right, right. So I think then everybody goes their separate ways. Dorothy, I guess, gets a job somewhere else, not stripping. Because she comes home from a job and her grandma...
Ramona's at Old Navy, right?
Which is hilarious.
Well, during the economic collapse, she was at Old Navy.
And she goes back there, too.
Is that where she was in the back room.
Old Navy
She's working that guy's job.
Gotcha. She's like a manager of Old Navy now, But it's
either way, she's working somewhere else. Yeah. She comes home and we find out that the grandmother has passed away.
That was,
It was
she's
a tough
like in their
scene.
Chair,
yeah.
And that's the only family she has. She was talking to maybe Julia Stiles at one point, but she's like, you know, my parents dropped me off. My mom, my dad left. My mom dropped me off. My grandmother never came back. So that's her only family and why she's so close with her. And then once she loses her, you know, the only family she built up was Ramona and the other girls. And once the grandma's gone, it's like she
that's
has
it.
No one.
Yeah.
And I think that's partially why she wanted to tell her story to Julia Stiles. That's how I took it. Because even after she stopped recording, she instantly calls her back on her cell phone and keeps telling the story.
No, there's a time jump because Julia Stiles is not pregnant when they cut that interview off.
That's weird the way they edit it, though,
I think that's the edit, is like there's a time jump because Julia Stiles
Times. Are you sure it's this time? Because the first time when she says, I'm done, and puts the recorder down, Julia Stiles is like, okay, and then they cut to her walking in the door, and she's like, okay, and the story picks back up. I'm pretty sure that's a straight cut.
It could, but the
but
last...
But the next one is different. That's the time. Jump,
yes,
you're thinking.
Correct.
Yes, because she's at a party or something and right. walks in. But...
Because she says at the beginning, she's like, are you a mother? And Julia Stiles says, not yet. Yeah. And then we find out later that Julia's... Yeah. Like, at the end of the story, Julia Stiles is pregnant.
But, you know, the way I took it was like, even though she didn't want to do this in person and on the record with the recorder or whatever, I felt like she really had no one at that point other than her little daughter. And she right. wanted to tell the story and she kind of confided in her, like, I don't know.
No, I agree. I, yeah. I agree. So, yeah. So and basically that's kind of how it ends is they all kind of go their separate ways. They all kind of do jail time. I think. Oh, maybe none of them did any jail time. They got probation.
So Constance Wu got nothing.
She got probation.
Yeah. And then Ramona had to do something very minor.
Maybe like 14 days or something.
Yeah. But then the other two.
No, I think you're thinking of Felicity Huffman.
Yeah, right.
What a joke.
But the other two, I think, did weekends, it said.
Yeah, because
they did
was.
The
yeah.
little epilogue thing at the yeah. end. The yeah. other two
which
did,
I always appreciate.
Did weekends yeah. for a couple years or whatever. Right, yeah. So, but very, very minor for the
right.
for what they did, drugging people and stealing all that money. I mean, they did get off, I think.
The Wall Street guys did no time. And they yeah. ruined people's lives.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though? Yeah. Like, it's on yeah. the same level.
I wish they could have somehow conveyed more. If I knew they were just doing this to the people that they knew for sure
I think,
pulled the scams, I'd be way...
But I think that was kind of the point, is that they were living in a world where that was probably who they were scooping it up.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it was also what they were telling themselves to justify their actions.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where it gets murky. And I like that murky nature of like, yeah, they were probably scooping up those guys, but we don't know.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is it is an inexact science. And eventually they scooped up a guy mm-hmm. who wasn't that.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And that's the end of the, once that
brought
happens,
it, that brought it all down.
Yeah. The house of cards fell.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So like when Ramona, well, these are different names, but they're based on real people. And when the Ramona character left jail after her sentencing, she flicked off the camera. So like during the epilogue, they did the, like they reenacted. Usually they, in these movies, they show the footage of the real people.
Yeah.
So you can see what they looked like, but these characters just recreated them, but it really was recreating scenes.
Right.
So
oh,
I saw
funny.
A picture
yeah, yeah, yeah.
of the real one flicking off the camera dressed the same way. So they were
oh,
just
that's
recreating.
Funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And that's kind of how it ends. And
I liked it.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I guess I just heard so much.
Yeah. It was
like, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be this. And I did. It felt like a retread of Goodfellas.
It just wasn't as epic. It felt like an imposter or like, you know, it was an impression
and
of Goodfellas.
I guess I didn't. I get the Goodfellas analogy, but I also like I didn't feel that like
sure.
when I was watching it. So like. I get the point, but like it didn't resonate with me like Goodfellas. So like it was trying to.
It's just
so.
Not gotcha. That epic of a
yeah.
story, though.
It's
what
not.
They did, I mean, they were pretty much petty criminals. I know stealing the 132 is a huge thing. I get that elevates it a little bit, but like all these other crime movies, we see these people grow. Scarface and Goodfellas, I'll just say, because that's the, you know, the big example.
I would say
but,
like Goodfellas, Godfather, Casino, yeah. like those are the ones.
But
I'll also
as,
say those movies are like all an hour longer.
That yeah. is true. That is true.
But so like when you see them in this and then it's like the Christmas scene went on too long and it felt like it was trying to be Jersey Boys and all the, you know, like, oh, we're a family.
I did think at
this.
One point, I remember looking at Spath, I was like, what are we doing here?
Right.
What is
because
this?
Because they're trying to grow this epic, oh, we're family and we're blah, blah, blah. They're like, totally, you've seen this scene in every mob movie of them when they're all together and family.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't care as much about these people. Like,
and
move
that's the
on,
thing, is I think in Goodfellas and Casino, your core, there's more than De Niro and Pacino. You know, or De Niro and
right.
and Pesci or whatever.
Right.
Like in this one, it's I don't care about the other two. As yeah. funny as the blonde was.
And all the other girls were the outsourcing ones.
Yeah.
So it's like, we don't know these people.
Right.
Your
core is J-Lo and Constance Wu.
Yeah.
Like those are the two you want to focus on.
Sure.
But instead they're just like, I don't care about any of these
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
So
it was,
it was
entertaining.
It was good. It was
but,
fine. It was,
you know,
I'm not mad that I saw it.
I definitely think it's going to, the backlash, and it's doing okay financially, but the people touting it up and Oscar buzzing it and saying it's a great movie, an amazing movie, like, I think they're building it up too much.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little bit of
yeah,
a detriment
like
to
when
it.
That guy referred to it as a masterpiece, I'm like, I don't know about a masterpiece. It was good, and I enjoyed it, absolutely, but, like, yeah, like one of the best movies of the year.
This is, and it's not that artistic of a movie. Like, I feel like this is the type of movie that, like, when you call it a masterpiece, like one of these little, like a like an A24 art house type movie that was maybe more stylized, like that would feel like more of a. But this was a pretty straightforward. I mean, filming wise, they didn't do a lot of real artistic,
not a whole lot
shots. No. It was a pretty straightforward movie to where I didn't really get much out of the camera work or anything. I mean, do you remember any great shots from this movie?
No,
nothing stood out to me where I'm like, wow, it's a beautiful looking.
There's certain. I mean, anytime you shoot in New York, if they were actually shooting in New York, I think that has a certain aesthetic.
Yeah, it was fine
when you pull back from it. Like Scorsese is a, Scorsese is Scorsese in New York. What are you gonna do? Forget about it.
But you remember those shots. Yes. Like with this one, I didn't feel like they did too much with the camera. It was just like,
yeah, like with Goodfellas, just that opening tracking shot as he's going through the kitchen into the back of the club.
Even,
like, it's just
I'm thinking of the scene in Godfather where in the restaurant where Michael kills the two, the cop and the other guy. Like, I'm just thinking of that. Like you can feel that restaurant. Like there's a tactile feeling of that. And I never felt that with this movie.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Anyway, so
solid movie.
Yes, absolutely. So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers while you're there. Join the League of Show Sharers. Maybe leave a review at our page. And, of course, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, all that stuff. And finally, our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month, you get to support the show and access to all sorts of bonus content. So that's it for this one. Coming up next week, I think we're going to have to do a twofer.
Oh, yeah?
We got Ad Astra.
Saw it.
And
Ed Asner?
Yes.
Ah, oh, man. I would love to do a podcast with Ed Asner.
And Rambo Last Blood. How do you say no to either one of those?
You don't.
You'll get a twofer next week. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Nick gets Alex an audition with the conservatory.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.